Welcome back to Crunch Time for APB Group. You can invest today at apbgroup.com.au and Ringwood Mazda. Score a demo deal right now. From the team out at Ringwood Mazda, coming up shortly, the Crunch, and then we're going to replay as close to in full as we can the best part of the Nathan Buckley interview. But let's talk about it now. Start with Rowan Connolly from the coach's box last night, bringing up the subject of the 2011 handover from Mick Malthouse.
Was there any stage in 2011 where you were approached even informally about delaying the handover by another year?
No, I wasn't approached. I did consider it myself.
So off your own bat, you thought about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay, well, can you take us through why you thought about it and why you didn't go with it?
Right, so this is happening. We're talking about this publicly. I thought that clearly the side was going well, and clearly we were playing a fairly significant vein of form. Mick was coaching really well, had a really strong connection with the players, but it was the leadership of the club was really keen on not just looking at 2012, but looking beyond that to where we needed to get to, and we had an understanding of where that was going to go, and it wasn't until very late in the piece that Mick decided that he didn't want to be a part of what was going forward. Mm. And that there's no doubt that that had an impact, you know, because that the plans for that were pretty well ensconced.
So that was just a part of his response there. He also talked about originally the plan was to have Neil Sanderson and... Malthouse still there.
Waters.
And Scotty Waters to still be there as his assistant. So it would have been a pretty a solid team with him. And so let's just, before we comment on that, he talks about this in this next part where Nathan Buckley talks about not going with the handover, going with the handover plan and the problems that he then encountered.
So ultimately, when you thought about voluntarily putting it on hold for a year, but you didn't, was the... the key factor in that you thought that it wouldn't look good for you, or that you thought the team would be better served by you taking over in 2012?
I think fundamentally, when I sat down with myself and others, do we as a club, and this is clearly, this will sound bizarre given our on-field performances since, but there are, if we really want to dig deep into that, you'll see the reasons for it. But I fundamentally felt that will I positively impact this environment and the football club for long-term positioning of success? And my answer was yes, absolutely I will. And I still believe that I will. And we've got the right talent on board. We just need to maximise it.
You were in a no-win situation, weren't you? Because given how the side was going, you were going to come in and a lot of people were going to say, well, you know, why isn't Mick coaching? And you didn't get the benefit of that clean slate.
No, and those first couple of years were bloody hard. Like, it was, I mean, when the time's right, they're like, to talk through what that was like. I had great support around me. Rocket was fantastic. The coaching panel that we were going to put in place was Sanderson, Neil and Waters. And within 2 weeks, those three blokes had senior jobs. Mm. So there was a 100% or 80% change in our senior coaching staff, because Matty Lappin was the forward coach in 11 and continued into 12. And that's pretty significant.
Mm.
Yeah, and that would have happened whether Mick had stayed or not. So there would have been a significant shift in the coaching staff. And that itself has impacts, but through 12 and 13, like the things that we had to deal with and the things that were taking place behind the scenes in regards to plenty of things were very tough to deal with. And it was, you know, we didn't have the locker room for a while, and there was a lot of influences in that part of the club, and you know, that we needed to change things up, and clearly we've had to action that.
Sorry, we didn't have the locker room, did you say?
Yeah, there was an element.
Players on board, you mean?
The influencers in the playing group had their success and were happy to
stick with that.
Happy just to roll along. I mean, and that's a tale for another time.
So it's pretty compelling stuff. Maxi, you were obviously there during that period. What's your response to that?
I think you guys set me up sometimes when you know Bucks in the night before, don't you? Get me in the next day. I think that when you look back at 2012, we lost a prelim, and that was the week after Johnny McCarthy passed away. And a lot of our boys were absolutely cooked emotionally. And speaking of them, they just had no energy at all that week leading into the game and played accordingly. So we weren't far off. Obviously, that sort of influenced how we performed that night off another grand final. So as much as there was stuff obviously going on behind closed doors, there was still pretty good performance on the field. I think in terms of the locker room stuff, I think a lot of that was actually probably Bucks' relationship with individuals. I think that some of those relationships weren't as strong as they need to be from player to coach. And I can't comment on why that was, because that's an individual relationship with another individual.
I was just about to ask you, why was that?
all different reasons. Obviously, some players who maybe feel like they're being pushed aside for other players to come through and take their spot. That'd be certainly a common one for coaches to have to deal with. And we obviously had players in that who were in that situation. But there's obviously other things that go into a relationship that you have with your coach. And I think some guys still had a loyalty towards Mick and they couldn't let go of that. But you had other guys who were ready for a change and were ready and wanted Bucks to be their coach. So you sort of have that, and you just got to move on. You're professionals. And that was, I guess, the message we tried to give as much as we could, that you've got a job to do and nothing's changing and let's go out there and do our job.
So, Maxie, if you ever sat on a board of a football club, and you were a football board member, would you endorse a future in time, predetermined date in time for a handover of coaching?
That's tough hypothetical, isn't it? I think that when...
In principle.
Well, when you look back at it, when that decision was made in 2009, I've spoken about this before, we were 3-6 travelling to Perth to play a red-hot West Coast. And it was all doom and gloom. Collingwood to finish. Mick had lost us. We came out, won that game, got to a prelim, won a premiership, got to grand final. So it turned around. And I think, Mick debates this, but I think that he made decisions in those last couple of years that he probably wouldn't have made had there been no expiry date on his coaching career at Collingwood. So he went with kids who he thought, this kid might give us something, instead of taking the safer option of using guys who had got in there before.
It's normally the other option,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Maxie, can I ask you, and this is a tough question, the Nathan Buckley time, he talks about the locker room. He's 108 games in. How can we be talking about has he or hasn't he got the locker room? I mean, it's a strange discussion, don't you feel?
Oh, absolutely. And I think he probably... The thing that... And I just did this myself on the way here this morning because I felt like I might be asked some questions about this.
Oh, really?
Out of contract at the moment, and I'm happy to be corrected if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Nathan Brown, Frost, Blair, McCaffer, Witts, Tuvey, Swan, White, Broomhead and Williams... Now, Swan has been reported that he will, by Robbo during the week, that he'll hang them up. All those other guys, if they're not at the football club, and I know some of them have contracts in front of them but haven't signed them, why haven't they signed them? There's a week to go till the season's over. What's the weight on all of those guys?
Cutting to the chase, you think that they haven't signed their contract because of their relationship with Nathan Buckley?
I don't know, mate, to be honest. I've got no idea. But I also know that on top of them, you've also got two guys who has been spoken about in trade terms who have one-year contracts in Cloak and Goldsack. And then, I mean, we're still, I guess, got an unsure basket with Keith and Thomas. How do they come back and do they come back? They've got two guys coming off ACLs in Ramsey and Scharenberg. Elliott's back. No one's sure. Galt and Sinclair have had concussions all year. I mean, the turnover of the list, potentially, if they can't work out who are those guys are staying in quickly... is going to be astronomical. Like, where do you go from there? If there's a dozen guys leave who are, they're not all kids, they're all senior players, what happens next?
Mm. Sounded like Maxie was saying. I still don't understand. So why is Nathan putting this on the table now then? If you feel there's no bearing in the locker room about Nathan, and there never has been to a point, I'm not saying. I think you've got to go past the Mick Mulhouse handover.
No, I know what you're talking. You're talking about back in 2011 when some of the players came to me, a handful of senior players, and said that they want to go to the board and they want to keep Mick on. That was, I guess, the locker room part of it, that he didn't have the locker room in that sense. But there was a lot of individual things that I'm not going to talk about because it's not my position to talk about, to do with relationship or to do with different issues that they had that were and were not controllables.
Do you think that is a bygone time, that is done now?
I mean, that's well and truly gone now. In terms of all, most of the individuals are not at the club. I would say all of them probably aren't at the club. So it's a different team. It's Bucks' list now. It's Bucks' team now. And how they're performing is probably you're the expert on where their performance at. You watch them all. But my concern is all those players are out of contract and what happens. Like, how many of them are staying? How many are going? And why aren't they signed?
How many of those players, you know, are playing great footy at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'd say, I think Brown's in, Blair's in, White's in, and is Williams in?
He's been in and out. I think he was back in last week.
But, I mean, also, you need depth on your list. You can't
Absolutely. Let's talk about next year then with Bucks. He had this to say about his coaching future with 1 year remaining in his contract.
To come back down to, say, one season to prove your worth, to validate the program and the decisions that you've made. You don't often find yourself in that position, but it's a high performance sport. It's a high performance expectations, and if we don't win, you don't stay.
Can you realistically say that you think you'll still be there at the end of next year if you don't make finals?
Oh, like, there's no way. And there might be things outside of our control.
Yeah.
We need things to fall into place as a program for us to. We need a little bit of luck. We need to be harder, and we need to be more consistent. These are all things that we know are going to be the difference between us maximising our potential or not. It's not a talent thing. I'm on the hook flat out. We're all on the hook flat out for it, and it's really important for us to make this work.
It's that clear cut. If you don't make the finals, you won't survive.
Well, I would have thought that. Is that a hit? Is that no? Is that saying something that someone else doesn't think? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's right. We all knew that would be the case. But still, for a coach to say it, Kingy, is very interesting.
Yeah, it is. But he's a realist. He knows. And I think when you look at the projection over the last 5 years, what they've gone 16, 14, 11, 10, and now they're sitting on 8 wins. I think they're sitting on 8. It's been a big slide, and with no real obvious certainty that they're our finals team next year. I think that they'll be lucky to win. On what we're seeing now, and I know you say, oh, but this guy's injured, that guy's injured.
Well, they are. They have had a...
But 10 injuries don't replace 10 spots on the ground. 10 injuries probably replace 4 spots on the ground, because those kids are fighting for the same spot. Often in selection. So I don't just absolve all those ills through a few injuries, and they've been their stars. I acknowledge all of that, but there's no guarantee they're going to be better than GWS, North Melbourne, all these teams that are hovering around there.
Yeah, Port Adelaide, Melbourne, St Kilda, Melbourne, those ones coming. It's not going to be easy.
So I think he knows that the pressure's on. There's no doubt about that. He hasn't got a stamp, and I'll stand by what I wrote last Friday in the Herald Sun. He doesn't own. What if his coaching career finished right now? What would be his reflection on his coaching career? And I don't think that he's got an area of strength right now. And he challenges that. He doesn't like that. And that's fair enough too. But I just want to see it.
I wonder what the... they put their hand up for Michael Hurley very publicly. Obviously, that means you've got to have the cap space to get someone like that. I wonder if they've got a couple of irons in the fire that they think that are going to come through that are going to have a huge impact on next year.
Well, if Swan goes, which we all think he will, there'll be a bit of cap there and a bit in a few of the other players as well that and depends what happens with Travis, obviously. So you would think that if they can get Travis's money off the books and Swan's gone, that there'll be some money for the players, some room for them to chase some players. We'll wrap it there because we're going to play an extended version of the Buckley interview to finish off the show. Michael Hibbert has just informed Essendon that he wishes to seek a fresh start elsewhere next season, read Melbourne. The 26-year-old has thanked the club for his ongoing support. And Xavier Campbell said, obviously, we're disappointed Michael won't be continuing his career at Essendon, but we understand and respect the reason behind his decision and will not stand in his way. So Michael Hibbert out of the Bombers next year.
So that'll be a trade done? Second round pick, something like that, is what we're thinking?
Probably.
Yep. Which is probably a win for both clubs, isn't it? He doesn't want to be there. No problem. I think John Worsfold was open with that, wasn't he, Derm?
He might be worth a bit more than... I mean, it'd have to be somewhere in the low 30s, you'd think, a pick, something like that. When you speak second round, sometimes you're thinking 18 to, you know, 36 or beyond, given how many... those concessional picks that are in there, but he'd have to be low 30s.
Well, 27 to 30 will be where Melbourne fall with. Talking Essendon, aren't we?
Melbourne.
Yeah, no, Melbourne.
It's not
Melbourne.
Melbourne's pick, it's Essendon's pick, so it'll be up the other end of it.
That's Melbourne's pick.
Yeah, Melbourne's pick that they'll have to trade to get it.
So 27 to 30 will be where they sit at the moment, right?
Mm. Is that enough for Hibbert?
Yep. I think so.
Yep.
I think so. I think all parties... 27's about par. Might be just... Geez, we get down to fine degrees, don't we? 29, 30, I think, would probably be the value. But, yeah,
They'd have taken that at the start of the week, Derm. You're going to lose one. You've got Hurley up, and obviously you've got Hibbo. Which one?
Just before we break, Derm, just on Hurley, are you concerned about the length of the term?
You hear these? He's gone five again, hasn't he?
Yeah, five plus next year, so it's six. He'll be 27 when he starts next year.
Yeah, he won't see that through, but that's what teams... That's what they do now. Well, he'll be 32.
You don't think he'll see it through?
No, well, it's like Franklin, you know. Franklin's got to play till he's 40 to see through his career. He's not going to do
that. He might get a contract extension, buddy, the way he's going. All right, we'll take a break. More on the crunch come out. We'll look at all the coaches that are under pressure in the competition and some more Nathan Buckley to come before we finish off. 27 minutes past 12 here on 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. It's crunch time with thanks to apbgroup.com.au. That's Australian Property and Business Group. And Ringwood Mazda. Score a demo deal now.